Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Are you serious?
Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take them out.
Right back to Tristan. He's going to run it to first, and the game is over. The Giants have pitched a shutout tonight here in Baltimore. The ninth time the Giants have pitched a shutout this year. An all-around victory that was very impressive.
All right, Flynn, Giants win big. Giants win big against the Baltimore Orioles. Mike Yastrzemski with a leadoff home run. Look... I don't even know if that's the story, the Giants winning the game. They went 10-0. I mean, Blake Snell has been unbelievable since he's come off the IR. Let me run these numbers by Yezzy. By the way, oh baby. He threw me off here in the Giants highlight. I'm not going to lie. Threw me all the way off, Shasky. I'm like, whoa, what? So, oh baby, good morning. You know who you are. Overnight dancers, graveyard shift workers, janitors, truck drivers, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate, auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. All right, with the positive. The positive is Blake Snell has a 1.33 ERA in 13 starts, just coming off the injury list in July. Again, a 1.33 ERA, folks. This guy's been dominant. Dominant. And last night, another 12 strikeouts against one of the best lineups in all of baseball. So, what's going to happen with Blake Snell? Can we re-sign him? You need another battery ram.
He has the opt-in, opt-out. He kind of controls whether
he's player back. Option. Player option.
And I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, I was screaming to the high heavens that a team like Baltimore needed to go get a starting pitcher. You know, when you sign Matt Chapman and when you sign Blake Snell, you forfeited a second and third round pick because that's what they cost because of, you know, they had qualifying offers from their current teams. They rejected that deal. And so when they hit free agency, if you sign one of those guys, you lose a draft pick based on those guys' status. And look, Blake Snell's been amazing. What's crazy about it is, like, you were like, man, I think it's been overshadowed how elite he is. But I'll tell you, you can make an argument this is more dominant, at least this last, whatever, 13 games, than any Lincecum run. You can make an argument this is like more dominant than any Bumgarner, Jason Schmidt. Pick who you want. Well, Carlos Rodon had a monster year. Logan Webb had an unbelievable 2021. This has been one of the sexiest in terms of watching, right? Performances for months on end, I can remember, and it feels like it's falling on deaf ears.
It is falling on deaf ears, and it's unfortunate because I was really excited about the signing and, you know, he got off to the rough start. What was it, 10.13 ERA? And he goes on the IL, says his groin wasn't right, and everybody had pitchforks ready to run him out of town. But he is what his track record says he is. He is a dominant pitcher when it matters most. June, July, August, September. He gets rolling. And he gets rolling in a big-time way where he's in a running for a Cy Young Award. You know, that's the type of guy this he. That's the type of guy he is. It's the type of pitcher he is, including a no-hitter in Cincinnati. So the disappointing aspect as we wind down this Giants baseball season is, and you see Lamont Wade Jr. had all his family and friends in attendance there. You didn't do anything at the deadline. You didn't sell. You didn't buy. And now we're in a situation where we're just waiting to see what happens in the offseason. And as we got stories leaking everywhere, everywhere out of 24 Willie Mays Plaza. There's things getting told to Baggerly. There's things getting refuted. Then there's things getting told to Pavlovich and Susan Slusser and John Shea. I don't know what's what. All of a sudden, Farhan's in and out of the hospital due to health issues. He's stressed out, according to Dave Fleming. I don't know what's going on, but this is one of the more bizarre endings to a Giants baseball season I can recall in my lifetime. I'm not talking about the goodness and losing World Series games and losing playoff games. I'm talking about for a team that is out of the race. There is so much drama circulating around Oracle Park right now. Hey, we got to find some leadership. We've got to do something here because they have become irrelevant in this market, which I think was impossible to do growing up. You got to realize they came here in 1957. They are irrelevant in this market. Irrelevant right now. So what's going to happen over the next couple weeks? Don't know. Don't know. But that's intriguing to me. That's very, hell with the 10-0 win.
I didn't think anything could top the 2014 49ers kind of ending. The whole Harbaugh thing, like nothing was weirder than that, right? Wouldn't you agree that the whole it's toxic in the locker room, Alex Boone, we got to the mountaintop.
But that's football, though. That's expected. Football stuff,
there's always drama. I'm talking ownership, fan base, yeah. Completely souring.
Yeah, I mean, it was everything. But I've seen that multiple times with the 49ers.
Okay.
And the 49er fan base.
It just to me, and like, I see these people defending the whole Farhan era, and I go, like, look, they're like, you don't realize how bad it was when he got here. And I would always, my pushback is like, hey, look, I'm not delusional. I don't think that the Giants should be in the playoff contention every single year. You had one of the greatest runs any team in North American sports has had when you won 3-5. And then you got back to the playoffs in 2016. Sports is cyclical. Like, you trade a bunch of players for the win now mode, and then you're going to have some down years, and then you're going to have to ramp it back up. It's taken too long. And what he inherited, everyone's like, he inherited a mess. The farm is not that much better. Now, we'll see what ends up happening with Bryce Eldridge. And I'm very, very, very high on him. But they've had 6 off seasons, 6 free agencies, 6 international pools of free agents where you can go sign any of these guys. You've had 6 years at the deadline to make moves. What did you inherit? Well, you inherited one of the most revenue-rich teams in baseball, which is an advantage all into itself. You inherited a Hall of Fame catcher. You inherited a Hall of Fame manager. You inherited the greatest defensive shortstop of all time in Giants history, okay? You inherited Madison Bumgarner. Now, look, I don't think they were going to trade Madison Bumgarner. That window might have passed. Fine. But you did run Bochy out. And he immediately won the World Series with the Texas Rangers, all right? Buster Posey, yeah, he's at the end of his career. And you squeezed an unbelievable career year out of him. Looking back at 2021, there was a lot more Bobby Evans influence than people want to give him credit for. I just look at it this way. It's taken too long. And the results are in. And it's not close. Are we closer today? Think about it, Giants fans. Are you closer today to World Series contention than you were in 2018? I think my answer is an unequivocal no. You're not even close. You're not even close to the third wild card spot.
No, you're not. Look, I don't think, when I think of Farhan, let's think about this on the way home yesterday and thinking about, you know, all the stuff that's happened in the Bay Area. And there's a lot going on with the 49ers. And, you know, by the way, Debo and Ayuk, that podcast, and they will get better. It's only their first episode, but that may have been the worst podcast I've ever watched from athletes. It was all-time bad.
Yeah, I have a thought later.
It was all-time bad. It was rough to watch. But they'll get better. Hopefully, Debo get better, and you know. But it was bad. It was bad. Not everybody's your podcast. Not everybody needs to be in front of a microphone. People probably think that about me, which is fair. But when it comes to Farhan Zaidi, I can't think of a president of baseball operations or GM whose Q rating was so low amongst his fan base. Like Trent Baalke had moments where he was loved.
He was executive of the year one year.
Right. Well, Farhan was too, wasn't he, in 2021?
Again.
I mean, you know.
With Bobby Evans' guys.
But they both won executive of the year. But Farhan's Q rating is so low. Who even compares? Robbie Rowell, Chris Cohen? Like, who even compares to these guys?
Not to be, I'm not trying to, but there was a point in time Gary St. Jean was
hated.
He was hated. Yep. I love him, you know, as a person, and he'll laugh and joke about it because he'll admit some of his shortcomings, but he wasn't the greatest GM.
Full of baloney.
But I don't think the Warriors had ever captured the market the way the Giants captured the market. And I think that, because again, it's impossible to fathom if you're a younger person now. The Warriors were clearly the third burner. Right. I mean, there were people that had the Sharks higher than the Warriors on their pecking order at some point.
Exactly.
Not me, because I've never been that into hockey, and that's on me, right? But I just, man, they're down bad, dude.
They're down bad right now. The Giants are down bad. And so Farhan's Q rating is at an all-time low. Now, you got Scott Boras coming out saying that he negotiated with Farhan in the two-week window when he was in and out of the hospital and Posey came in. There's always ancillary pieces who come in to finish up the deal or whatnot. It gets approval. Back said that Posey had to come in. So somebody's lying out there. And there's leakage coming out of where. And I don't know where the leaks are coming from, but the fact that we have leaks down at 24 Willie Mays Plaza, there's a lack of leadership right now. There needs to be some leadership. There needs to be somebody to take the throne and say, look here, this is our vision. This is how we're running this show. And this is how we're getting ready for the future to compete with the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks. Because right now, you're by far and away the fourth best team in the NL West. That's not right. You should not be falling below the Diamondbacks and the Padres. And nobody wants to say, you're getting guys to sign here. Thank God you got Matt Chapman signed long term. That's a start. What's going to happen with Blake Snell?
Well,
can you retain Blake Snell to go along with Logan Webb? Can you do that?
You want to give Blake Snell $190 million?
But
you're asking me how, and I'm telling you how.
I mean, you know what? He might be worth it.
I mean,
you got to take the good with the bad, and he gets off slow, and sometimes he only goes six innings or five innings, but this is the fourth straight second half of the season where he's been lights out, dominant, top five pitcher in baseball.
There's one thing that the Giants have at their disposal and their advantage, and this is the part where I don't understand Giants fans. Money. Money is a huge asset. You're not the Brewers, right? So when the Brewers sign, Yelich, it's like, wow, if Yelich gets hurt, we're kind of screwed.
Right.
Because all of our money is dumped into one player. You're not the Marlins. You're actually the Giants, and you can overcome a crummy contract here and there. The problem is they've been so risk averse.
Yeah.
They've been unwilling to do it. You look at the farm. Do you believe in Harrison moving forward? I'm iffy. Have you seen does Carson Wisenhunt exist? Heard a lot about him.
He pitched yesterday, five innings. I think he struck out six in the minors.
Great.
Yay!
Yeah, I'll believe that in the bigs when I see it. Like, Birdsong's been really nice, really nice. I don't know if he's a top of the rotation guy.
He's gotten hit around a little bit in the second half.
Right now, you have Logan Webb. You have Logan Webb, and he's signed to a very team-friendly deal, and he is a very nice pitcher. I love Logan Webb. At times, he can be ace-like, but I don't think he's an ace. To me, he's a two. Blake Snell? Now, this is an ace. Now, is there a risk? Of course there's risk. It's pitchers. You give a $200 million deal to a pitcher, one pitch, boom, Tommy John, right? And he's already been hurt, and you get a mixed bag. But when this guy's on, Bonte, he's on a short list of guys who can beat anyone on any given day with one run of support. How many guys can you say that about in the bigs?
Well, I mean, not a lot. Not a lot, which is why I preach patience, patience, patience with this guy. He will turn it around, and he turned it around in a major, major way. So you let him go. And again, like a team like the Orioles, if you look around baseball playoffs, the Mets, the Dodgers, anybody out there could have traded for Blake Snell. I would have, it's befuddling here. It's befuddling why nobody traded for him. But then also you got the Robbie Ray situation. What is he going to do with the Giants? But more so, what's going to happen in the next couple weeks? What is going to happen once the season is over? That's the million-dollar question with the Giants. Because, again, we got all these reports, and we could dive into them. The Scott Boras angle. The Bagley angle. Because Bagley's not...
People didn't read it.
So there's an article over the weekend that Bagley wrote, correct? You guys sent it to me. Yeah, I wouldn't even pay attention.
It was in the Athletic slash the New York Times.
Athletic/New York Times. Basically, Bagley was breaking down how the Chapman deal got done, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And how management is now kind of what's going on here with Farhan, and how Buster Posey's name got thrown into it as basically the guy who got the deal done.
The way it was worded, and I'm paraphrasing, is that Posey had to jump in and just get the deal done.
Now, Souza Slusser.
Because he wanted the deal done, which I said to you maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Isn't Chapman kind of a Bo Mel, Buster Posey type of a guy?
Well, now we get Souza Slusser to Chronicle, right?
Yes, yesterday.
And she talked to Scott Boras. And Scott Boras refuted things, saying that, no, Farhad and I did most of the work together.
Yeah, you know how I perceive that article? And Susan is getting the source straight from Scott Boras. She's not getting inaccurate information. The information's coming from Boras. I read that as Boras don't want Farhan to go. You know why? Because Boras wants to use people like Farhan. Oh, right. I've got Juan Soto. I want 500 million Yankees. Well, the Giants will give him 500 million. And then he uses the Giants as leverage. Then he goes back to the Yankees. He signs with the Yankees. He gets more money. Then he turns around to the Giants after the Giants have struck out on Soto. Well, I'm also representing these other mediocre outfielders. You could sign a couple of them on 2 and 3 year deals. Look at how many deals that Scott Boras has done with Farhan, with these middling players, the Hanegers of the world. He lives for guys like Farhan.
So you got that angle. You have Bob Melvin calling a team meeting after getting shut out, what, 3 straight times? Which is weird to me, calling a team meeting at this point. We needed a team meeting 2 months ago. We needed you to flip the spread a couple 6 weeks ago. We're out of it now. What is the team meeting going to do? You know, you got the Fitzgerald and Luciano situation.
That was insane.
You know, that was insane. So you got all these things happening in the last couple of weeks. But going back to Baggerly, and I want to give him credit because, you know, I'll say some things about Baggerly. We've had our beefs. But he is a legit reporter. I do find Baggerly to be very credible.
Oh, no, he's extremely credible.
And he is tapped in. There is no doubt Andrew Baggerly is tapped in. So for Boras to come out over the top to refute that report, somebody's out here lying. If somebody wants their message out there. So I think there's somebody or some people in the Giants organization that are angling to try to get the leadership, that are angling to try to get Farhad Zaidi out of there, to try to get the power and retain the power. And I don't know who's who or who's doing what. Who's talking to Bagley? Who's talking to Slusser? Who's talking to this? But there's a lot of mess going on there, and it's all revolving around one guy, it's Farhad Zaidi.
I've been a Giants fan for 42 years, as have you. At no point in my Giants fandom, even when we were waiting on Posey and Lincecum and those guys, did they ever sell me on a prospect being on the main telecast for a month straight. They have been doing Bryce Eldridge stuff.
Wow.
You want to tell me how down bad your major league roster is and how hopeless it is. You have been trying to sell me on someone who the fan base has never seen play a live baseball game.
Well, I mean, I want to see him play.
But no, I do too. But Bonte, think about how bad you drafted him a year ago. He might be the greatest player of all time.
Well, I go back to the crossover, and Sonny asked you when we were doing 10-2, and Sonny asked you, hey, what's the most exciting aspect of the Giants? And you named a guy who was in single A at the time. And I said, damn, that's the most exciting aspect of the Giants as a guy in single A? Think about that. But it's been like that over the last 3 years. We were excited about Harrison. Excited about Luciano. We were excited about Matos. We were excited about Ramos. Then we soured on Ramos. Then we soured on Matos. Then we soured on Luciano. Then we're high on Wizenhut. Then we're out on Wizenhut. Then we're out on Harrison. I hope Eldridge, for the sake of all Giants fans' psyche, I hope Bryce Eldridge is the real deal. I really do. I'm pulling for this kid. There's an immense amount of pressure on him to carry this franchise, but they need somebody. So we'll continue this conversation on the other side. I can see Love in there. His fingers are getting itchy here because he's ready to say break, 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 break. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it. Because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you want to get in on a conversation with the Giants, hey, what is going on here? With the Jordan Hicks situation, is that valid? Is that valid? Nobody even knows. I will explain that on the other side. Everything. Well, the Giants are a mess, man. They're riveting. Of course, we're going to get to Niners or Rams. There's a lot there. We'll preview that on the other side here on the Rust.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
You know, Monte,
the heat has been turned up on Shanahan for sure.
We will get into the Niners because I have some questions about Brock. I saw a lot of stuff about Brock yesterday with the Debo Samuel injury news that's been announced. So we'll definitely get to all of that. But I've got some stuff here on the Giants that just, look, there's a pitching aspect, and they always run out of pitching, which I know. Pitching's very difficult right now in the bigs, just in general, every team around the bigs. Baltimore, we're playing Baltimore right now. Baltimore's a team, they need at least one more starter, if not two or three. And that's every team in baseball right now. But let me just go to the hitting, because to me, that's the part that's just so befuddling. I think there was a misnomer during the championship years. The year they won it all in 2010, Uribe had 25-plus, Huff had 25-plus. You got 18 from your center fielder and Andres Torres. And then Pat Burrell, who was claimed off of waivers, had 18. Posey had 18. That team actually did hit home runs. I'm looking at this team right now. They're starting catcher, left fielder, and first baseman. How many combined home runs for those three starters?
What was that?
Your starting catcher, your starting left fielder, your starting first baseman. How many combined home runs this year for the Giants?
I'd say less than 20.
29. You played the game wrong. That's okay. 29. Right. 7 from Bailey. 7 from Bailey. 16 from Conforto. And 6 from Wade. Now, Conforto, okay, that's pretty good. In Major League Baseball, there are 14 first basemen who have more than 20. In Major League Baseball, there are 13 left fielders who have more than 20. And in Major League Baseball, there are 17 catchers with 13 or more home runs. One of them is Joey Bart. Joey Bart this year has the same amount of home runs as Pat Bailey's career.
So are you saying they made a mistake in trading Joey Bart? Or did they give up on him too early?
Well, that's baked into this.
Been, or would it have been, because he was never a Farhan guy. That was the whole thing about Joey Bart. He's not a Farhan guy.
Then why did you just release him for nothing?
I mean, like, didn't have any value.
Well,
didn't have any value.
And then I look at DH, right, which was supposed to be.
I mean, they did bring defenses in too, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but none of these guys are home run hitters. And then I look at the DH spot, right?
Thank God Joey Bart got out, saved his career.
There are 9 DHs in baseball with 20-plus home runs. The Giants have combined between Soler and Encarnacion this year for 16. Combined. So the point that I'm getting at is like, yes, pitching is so important, and that's, I think that's what their downfall of this year's team. But also, they can't find a slugger to save their lives.
No, they haven't been able to do that for a long, long time. So they stink. We know that. They stink. That, to me, is the stats now, who's hit what, who's doing what. That's all irrelevant at this point, Shasky. To me, what they do on the field is absolutely irrelevant. What are these next 2 weeks going to accomplish? Guys are going to bring momentum in the next season?
No.
This is done. We got to figure out what's the vision and who's running this show and where do we go from here?
Well, who do you want to run the show?
Well, that's the other thing. I don't know who I want to run the show.
I know.
But I know you want the LFC now?
Well, no. What I would do, and I said this weeks ago before the Buster Posey news came out. I said it weeks ago. I said, hey, look, they need their Jerry West.
Right.
They need their John Lynch. They need somebody who has a fresh face, who has credibility. That's what the Giants need. And I'm not even saying that guy has to run the show. I would hire Theo Epstein to work with Buster Posey and whatever combination of people you trust. If Dusty Baker's a part of the organization right now, I trust Dusty. I would put together some sort of a committee and I would say, find me the best candidates. Right. And I want those 3 or 4 or 5 people working together to find the right candidate. You can't just hire someone. Bonte, they cannot just hire someone and then have Larry Bear and Greg Johnson sit at a dais and say, trust us. They need Buster sitting there with them. They need someone like, and I'm using Theo Epstein as an example, someone like Theo Epstein who has a proven track record of credibility. Because right now, your trust level with the fan base is zero.
Well, to me, whoever runs the show, I just need a vision. I need players that want to play here. I need to stop with the mid-tier, three-tier players that will come here and get all the money and they produce 230 batting averages with 15 home runs or whatnot.
That's the
I need a legit first baseman. I need a legit first baseman. I may need a legit DH. I need speed on this baseball team. I need athleticism. So we got a couple stories here. Souza Slusser and the Chronicle. Monday, or excuse me, this is from this morning, right? But anyway, Susan Slusser from yesterday, yes, SF Chronicle. As the days wind down on the Giants' dreadful season, President of Baseball Operations Farhad Zaidi appears to be on a high seat. According to industry sources, the Giants' board of directors wanted to assess how the season's final weeks played out before making a decision on Zaidi, and the 2024 campaign is not ending well. Ownership is frustrated with the direction of and performance of the team and is taking a hard look at Zaidi as he concludes the penultimate year on his contract. Now, he has another year left on a deal because Shea broke this out of nowhere that they're only signing Melvin and Farhan Zaidi for next season. So, I think in this situation, the Giants would be willing to eat money for Farhan for a season and bring in a new guy here. They lost four straight games, including the sweep by the Padres. You know, obviously, they got this three-city trip in Baltimore, Kansas City, Arizona. But, you know, apparently, Zaidi has continued to work with Stipe despite being hospitalized twice in recent weeks with an undisclosed ailment. So hopefully he's well, because that's not fun. From the hospital, apparently, he conducted business as usual, including negotiating Matt Chapman's new contract. Now, this is where I kind of side with Bags, where Bags found it, the source that said Buster Posey took a leading role in Matt Chapman talks, according to sources. And this was on Sunday, September 15th, my birthday. Bagley wrote this story for The Athletic and New York Times. So on Sunday, Bagley writes that Buster Posey took the lead in the Chapman negotiations. Slusser writes yesterday that Farhad was still conducting business from the hospital. Now, if somebody's hospitalized, not once, but twice in the last couple weeks, you would have to think that they would be caring for themselves, their
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Family will be bedside. Hey, you need to get right with your ailment, whatever it is. Health is wealth. This is more important right now. It's hard for me to believe, and I'm not calling Slusser a liar, I'm not calling Boris a liar, but I just have a hard time believing that we're negotiating a nine-figure deal, 6 years, $151 million, and we're negotiating while I'm in the hospital trying to get treatment to get right. That's, priorities are our order.
Yes.
First of all, if I'm Greg, I'm like, hey, Farhad, get right, dude, you're in the hospital. I have a hard time believing he was conducting business as usual in the hospital.
I just don't buy it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you're in the hospital, if you're laying in a bed in the hospital, I went and visited my dad in the hospital every day for, I don't know, 65 days straight. And then the 20 or so days before he ended up having some of his ailments, he was in the hospital in a bed. And even when he had all his faculties and he was there, bro, you you can't operate as normal.
Yeah, I don't.
If you're in the hospital in a bed, that means that you've got things like hooked up to you. You're not just chilling on the thing. You've got, like, you know, usually they have the IV bag and certain things, you know, connected to you. I don't see how you could do it. Can you have your laptop there and relax and all that stuff? Yeah. The number one thing that they say, don't have a lot of people come because we don't want a lot of stress. Right. You don't want to be stressed when you're in the hospital. Stress can really, like, physically hurt you. Now, we don't know what exactly the ailments are, but I'm with you. I have a hard time believing it's business as usual if you're in the hospital. I mean, it's just, I have a hard enough time when I'm sick.
Yeah, I don't buy it. So according to the Athletic story, the board was so frustrated by the lack of immediate progress that the ownership group took action. Posey personally dealt with Chapman, hammered out a deal, and Scott Boras took offense to that because story also in the Athletic, Zach Baggerly wrote, viewed re-signing Chapman as a slam dunk and did not trust Zaidi and Boras to finish at the rim. Boras took issue with that, saying that the Athletic did not contact him for the story and that any report that suggests that Farhan and I did not negotiate the financial package is inaccurate. Boras added, the years of guarantee totals presented to Matt were a product of a two-week negotiation conducted with Farhan and me while he was in and out of the hospital. As with most long-term contracts, once you have an agreement on financial terms, there are ancillary contract terms, guarantee language, no trade provisions, charitable donations, signing bonus, salary payment structure that are commonly completed by other team officials. So I do get that. I do get that. But there's just a lot of smoke here. There's a lot of smoke here. You know, and when there's a lot of smoke, there's going to be a fire at the end, Shasky. And that tells me an end is coming for Farhan Zaidi. That's what these articles add up to.
I would agree.
That's what they add up to at the end of the day. That's the bottom line for
me. I'm with you. And, like, we can argue about Scott Boras as an agent. I'll tell you this right now. The guy's full of crap, all right? Everything he says, everything he does. Look, did anyone read what Jordan Montgomery was saying about him earlier this year? And Matt Chapman, who had representation from Boras, was visibly and emotionally shook up when they didn't accept the $150 million offer from Toronto. So we could say, oh, Boras gets his guys' money. There's a lot of people that don't like Boras.
Well, Blake Snell defended Boras, though. He clapped that Jordan Montgomery. And Blake Snell, to his credit, he took accountability.
He basically said,
look, this is part of my fault, too. This is part of my fault.
Blake Snell was offered less money from the Houston Astros. I know that is a fact. And he felt an obligation to make more money from the players' union. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff we don't understand. But I just want to.
But I'm just saying, I like the fact that Blake Snell took accountability.
He
took accountability.
Blake's said, a good guy. I've heard that from a variety of people.
Blake took accountability. Yeah. Said, this is on me. My agent, I have control of my career, so.
Yeah, but Scott Boras as an individual, to me, I just think he's a jerk. And if you just Google Jose Fernandez, nah, man, this means a lot. The Jose Fernandez situation, he was representing Jose Fernandez, and the way that he has conducted himself with Jose Fernandez's daughter after Jose's death speaks volumes as man Scott Boras is.
Wait, what happened?
Basically, you know, Scott represented Jose, and the Marlins tried to give Jose Fernandez hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts and whatnot, and he denied them, and they thought he was going to hit free agency, and then Jose Fernandez ends up passing away in a tragic boat accident, and the Marlins set up a fund for him and his daughter, a little long term. Scott Boras has never been there for that young girl and for that young family. And just seeing what he's done after that, when he was side by side with Jose, when Jose could make him a couple $100 million on a contract, it's what you do when no one's looking. That's the true definition of a man or a woman or whatever. And I'm telling you, man, Scott Boras is not a good person. He might be a great agent. He's not a good person. So when things come out of his mouth, I don't buy it at all.
All right, what's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. The LA Rams are on deck, and this is a must-win game for the 49ers. I don't care what anybody says. There's got to have it games. There's must-win games. This, folks, is a must-win game, and I'll explain why on the other side. Here on the Rose, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
It's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
We're going to move off from the Giants for a second here. It's a mess. They are a mess. They do get a win in Baltimore, so the players get to feel good. Melvin gets to feel good, but what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks with Farhan Zaidi, Bob Melvin? Will there be a shakeup with the San Francisco Giants? There's a lot of drama coming out, a lot of leaks. What will be next when it comes out to them down there at 24 Willie Mays Plaza? By the way, make sure you subscribe to Garlic Fries and Baseball, guys. That's the podcast you want to listen to if you need all your Giants talk. Joe Shasky, Sam Lubman, bringing the best damn Giants talk in the Bay Area. No matter what happens the rest of the season, good or bad, subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcast. The segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. It is Rams week. It is time to ramp up on Rams week. We'll have 5-2 Kirk Morrison on Friday and Cam Emmett on Friday to dive deeper into this game. But the Rams got a lot of injuries. They just got blown out in Arizona 41-10. Gave up 231 yards on the ground on 40 carries against Arizona. That's 5.8 yards a pop. And look, man, when it comes to the Rams, there's some bitterness here. Because before the last regular season game, where the backups played and Carson Wentz outdueled Sam Darnold, the Niners had won 9-10 against the LA Rams. They won 9-10 against the Rams, basically owning the rivalry. But the one loss, which I was reminded about over and over in week 2 of last season, was they got the one that mattered. They got the one that mattered, which has shifted the conversations. We talk about 3rd and 15 in the Super Bowl 54 and how that altered the history of the NFL, Shasky. But that day, January 30th, 2022, shifted the conversation for Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. And they got the one. They got the one out of those 10 that really, really mattered. And they won the Super Bowl, and they're going to have 25-year anniversaries about the Super Bowl. And, hey, a 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl, and what do we have out here?
I think that loss is as bad as any of the Super Bowl losses.
Oh, yes.
You're up 10 in the fourth. I mean, they just – I think because of where Jimmy was at his career and that particular postseason and how injured he was and how limited the offense felt at that given time – It gets kind of lost. That one hurts a lot, especially when you go up against Cincinnati if you would have won that, because the Chiefs finally got knocked off and everyone's like, all right, this is the one to win. And it would have been down in LA 2 weeks later. That one hurts so bad. And, you know, I'm looking at this current team for the Rams, Bonte. Listen to these injuries.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp, IR. Puka, IR. Davis Allen, tight end, out. Tyler Higbee, pop list. Joe Noteboom, IR. This is a lineman. Another lineman, Leviston, IR. Another lineman, McDermott, IR. A guard, Avila, IR. Jonah Jackson, IR. The D-line, Murchison, IR. Two cornerbacks, three cornerbacks I've never heard of, IR, season ending.
Jonah Jackson, hurt.
I mean, Bonte, this is insane.
Yeah.
This is insane how many people are hurt for them.
McVay, he had a quote real quick saying that we're kind of running out of spots, and we're only in week 3 in terms of their return to play. But it's a possibility that all these guys are going to be on IR because we're running out of bodies already.
This is one of those points in life, and you'll hear your mother or maybe an uncle tell you, you know, Joe, someone's always got it worse than you. And you look at the Niners, and they're injured, and they're depleted. They're not as bad as the Rams. You have to win this game. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how ugly. You cannot lose this game because you also have an opportunity. You know, if the losses continue to stack up, at some point, LA is going to wave the white flag.
Yeah, you could bury them. They go to 0-3. You can bury them. You can bury them. You can absolutely put them in a hole in the NFC West at 0-3, and you stay afloat with the Seattle Seahawks. But it's also imperative that you win this football game, and the next two, for that matter. You want to get to 3-1, because the Cardinals are coming in October 6th, and they're going to try to make a statement. That will be a game for them, the Arizona Cardinals, and they have a game like that this week against Detroit, where they're trying to prove to the world that, hey, we're back. We're back with Kyler. We got something cooking here with Coach Gannon. We have a new regime. We're ready to roll. So that game against the Cardinals will be tricky. It's a division game at Levi's. You know, Kyler running around is going to be a problem. And then you got the short week to Seattle before you host the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys. So you have to get 3-1. It's operation to me before the bye week. We always do this before the bye week. To me, just get to 5-3 at the bye week and get your reinforcements back. But this week against the LA Rams, without Deebo, without Christian McCaffrey, this is a must-win game. And it is important for Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk to start building this rapport for the 2024 season. It's time to roll, folks. And trying to find a backup quarterback, a backup running back. I think, is Isaac Renault going to play? Who's going to play backup running back? Because right now, Jordan Mason's on pace to have 408 carries this season. If we were bitching and moaning about Christian McCaffrey's touches last
that
year.
That can't be right.
400. So he's had how many carries so far this season? 48.
Okay.
You do the math. Times it by 17. 408 carries.
We can all agree that it's not a Frank Gore, I don't get squared up, I don't initiate contact style of running. It is I'm running through your soul.
Exactly.
And those guys, you know, Steven Jackson, Marshawn Lynch, Marion Barber, they're elite until they're not because their body gives out on them.
Yep.
So Jordan Mason has never been a number one, really. I mean, if you look at his time in Georgia Tech, they had Jahmyr Gibbs for long stretches of his career there. And so you're asking this guy to hit uncharted territory in terms of, you know, wear and tear. It's one thing to do it early on in the season. It's another thing come week 8, 9, 10 to still have that same exact physical style of running, that same burst, that same finishing of the run. Like, part of what makes him is he has to run through your soul.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
He has to. I almost don't want to take that element away from him.
No, you don't want to take it out of him, but you got caution, beware. Buyers beware. This guy's going to carry. It's a lot of carries. It's a lot of carries. It's a bruising style. I don't know how long that's going to last this season, but he's playing well. But just thinking about McVay and Shanahan, and you list all those injuries because they are beat up. They were lifeless in Arizona. They got thumped. I mean, they got their asses kicked. That game was on.
It was 21-0.
Oh, it was on the quad box. Soon as game started, they went right down the field. I mean, Stafford was getting drilled. Absolutely drilled. How many times did he get sacked in that game? It was awful. I was like, there's no way Stafford's going to survive in that football game. But with that said, McVay and company, he's got, you know, is there any heat for him down there in L.A.?
No, because he has the Super Bowl.
He has a Super Bowl. And that has separated him in terms of a lot of fans saying that, well, McVay won the big one. Shanahan hasn't. And that right now, and that's why I think there's so much pressure, even more pressure on the 49ers, even though they've been winning. They haven't won enough, right? Well, I mean, it's just insane the way the dialogue is for Kyle Shanahan and the way it is for Sean McVay, all because of one game back on January 30th of 2022.
Okay, you're going to hate me for even referencing this. When I heard the Houston Rockets talk year after year after year about how great they were, so I was like, what? You haven't won the big one. Like, who do you think you are? You haven't won the big one. Shut up, you know? And when I hear the Niners talk year after year after year about how great they are, yeah, they're really, really, really good. But you can't say you're the best team in the league because you haven't won the big one. And it just sucks. It really does. Just take step back. If the Ravens were talking like that and they were on podcasts and they were considering, like, it's one thing to like have that belief and that confidence. It's another to also take a step back and be like, you had opportunities and you keep coming short.
Yep.
You have to recognize that. Like right now, like the Niners, we still think we're the best team in the league. Yep, but you got to go out and prove it.
Debo said that. We've been the best team in the league, hands down.
Look, on some level, I agree with him. But on another level, when I look at who the champion is every year, it's not you. And it sucks, but it's the truth. And at some point, the rubber's got to meet the road here, and you either got to win one or stop saying that.
And that leads me to Brock Purdy. The boss man was texting us very early this morning. I don't even know if the boss man sleeps anymore. Look.
He's starting with Giants?
He's probably not happy about that. But we need to get that off our chest. There's a lot going on there. Just bookmark it. There's a lot of noise coming out of 24 Willie Mays Plaza. I like saying that, 24
you Willie do, Mays you Plaza. You do. Just
the 49, Eddie DeBarlow way.
You know, Bonte, like Superman, will have his suit in his Charger or whatever, the Tesla, whatever car you're driving. Like, and he will like spin into journalist mode the second. We are having a press conference today at 10:30. Bonte's going to like, dun, 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 like pull off the sweatshirt and go right into journalism.
He prefers Bruce Wayne over Clark Kent.
Come on. I do.
You know what? You're right.
I really do.
He's got Alfred out there.
Now, Alfred?
How about him?
Is that Anna? Anna's his Alfred?
Oh, that was going to go in a number of different directions there. But we're going to just nip it in the bud. I like the Bruce Wayne.
No, don't talk about that.
Yeah. So look. Had a video out last night.
That was a horrible, and I'm
so
sorry.
No, it's all good.
So
no,
don't apologize.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
And I love you.
She's asleep. Okay, trust good. Me, she's asleep. Baby Taz is snoring right next to her. Look, had a video out last night talking about Stafford and Purdy. And he sent this to text this morning. 5:05 a.m. And he texted us, it took Stafford 13 years to win a Super Bowl. 13! He was the first pick in the draft. Purdy was the last pick and has played one full season.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.